gentlemen, Ed Bowersman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, now the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. It is written, but Peter began and expounded the matter unto them in order, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending as it were a great sheet, let down from heaven. It is written, and it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the church and taught much people, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Four that were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only to Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. To the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner, our story shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. To the work, there's labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall, and the name of Jehovah exalted shall be, in the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. To the work, in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall be our labor for reward, when the home of the faithful our swelling shall be, and we shout with the ransomed, salvation is free. God is just a prayer away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Acts chapter 11. And the hand of the Lord was with them. When the hand of the Lord was with them, a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. Stephen had been murdered, and the members of the church were scattered abroad. His blood was a seed of expansion for the gospel of Christ. The slaying of Stephen resulted in a tremendous growth of the church. If the church at that time had called a meeting to discuss by what means they could make it grow, they would never have thought of that idea of persecution. The church today jeers at the past, cheers for the present, and fears for the future. If the church of the first century had been like today, they would have said the best way to make the church grow is to change the name to some kind of community church, and that way nobody knows exactly what it is. The devil thought the killing of Stephen was the best way to stamp out the church. But actually, his plan backfired, and the gospel spread like wildfire. The persecution that followed scattered the disciples everywhere. Some of those that were scattered abroad had the unmitigated gall to actually preach Christ to the Gentiles. The upshot of all this is when it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and many of them that believed turned unto the Lord. We can be sure that whenever and wherever the gospel of Jesus is preached, the hand of the Lord is in it, and the hand of the Lord will be with them. The hand is a powerful instrument of mankind. The hand is mentioned over 1,200 times in the Bible. No other created form of life has hands like mankind. Other living creatures have claws, but because a man has a thumb that works with all four fingers, he can make a watch, a needle, a computer, and 1,000 other things. And if the hands of man are so great, think of how powerful the hand of God must be when it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." You could take that statement and make a rubber stamp of it and stamp every page of the book of Acts, and it would be true about everything that was done. How else can you explain the onward march of the church in that one generation of the lives of the apostles? The book of Acts has 28 chapters, over 1,000 verses, and is the greatest do-it-yourself movement in history, because the hand of the Lord was with them. And since the hand of the Lord is with us in preaching the word, our work in preaching the word on this broadcast is in the hands of the Lord. If it had not been, we would not still be bringing it to you after more than 40 years. And the hand of the Lord seems to be with them throughout this chapter. Notice that the hand of the Lord was with them in the contention that took place. The chapter begins with Peter being called on the carpet for preaching to the Gentiles. When he had was come to Jerusalem, they contended with him because he went into a Gentile's house and actually ate with them. Many a preacher has become upset when confronted by a disgruntled bunch of elders, but think of Peter facing the apostles as well as other leaders of the Jerusalem church. Now, he told them what happened. He said that he had been in the city of Joppa praying. He could have said, "I was in the city of Joppa raising the dead." That would have sounded better. Actually, that is what he had done. That might have been given him more clout and a greater effect on his critics. He told them, however, that he saw a great sheet after he prayed, let down out of heaven by four corners, and it came even unto him. Think of that. The sheet let down from heaven by four corners came unto Peter personally. That is the only way to look at the revelation of God. The Bible has come down out of heaven, every sheet of it, and it has come even unto me. It is God's personal message to me and God's personal message to you. Take the word of God personally. He then said that he fastened his eyes on it and considered the thing. Since the Bible has come down to us from heaven, we ought to fasten our eyes on it also. Not very many can fasten their eyes on the Bible because their eyes are fastened on television about 4 hours every night, and for some, most of the day. But not only did he fasten his eyes on the sheet let down from heaven, but also he considered the thing. What better advice is there in the Word of God? Fasten your eyes on the sheets of God's Word and consider what you read. Billy Sunday, an evangelist of yesteryear, used to sign all of his letters with 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter told them about a great sheet that he saw in a vision let down from heaven, filled with all manner of beast, unclean beast, and creeping things. A voice came from heaven saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter looked at all those oysters on the half shell. He saw all those shrimp cocktails, those succulent catfish, all of which would have been unclean to a devout Jew, and said something like this: "Now, Lord, I've done some terrible things in my life. I have cussed and swore. I have even cut people's ears off. But, Lord, I have never sunk so low down. I have never been so depraved that I have ever succumbed to the fleshly temptation of eating a ham sandwich. And, Lord, make that a ham on rye." Actually, his words were, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean." There are many people today in the not-so club. The Bible has come down to us from heaven, even as that great sheep came to Peter. And many look into the sheets of God's word, let down to us from heaven, and see a lot of things they don't want to see. And they also say like Peter, "Not so, Lord," if they see the verse that says, "Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." They're quick to say, "Not so, Lord." If they look into the sheet of God's word and see a verse that says, "Man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination," they say, "Not so, Lord. Lord, you are politically incorrect." If they see a verse that indicates a Sunday-by-Sunday observance of the Lord's Supper, some are quick to say, "Not so, Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, to say "not so, Lord" is the same as saying, I know better than you, Lord." Sometimes in our personal lives we say, "Not so, Lord. Everything is going well, and life is going according to plan." And then something happens. Something called 9/11 happened. A hurricane wipes out many homes and lives. And we say, "Not so, Lord. This is not the way it is supposed to be. I never planned it this way." Sometimes people are apt to say these things that happened are the judgment of God. If a hurricane is the judgment of God, if 9/11 was the judgment of God, one wonders why God was at it, why he did not send a tornado or an explosion down the main street of Las Vegas, and a first-class earthquake to wipe out Hollywood. The question is asked, where is God? God is in the same place. He has always been. The same place he was when mankind, including us, nailed his son to that ugly Calvary's cross. We say, "Not so, Lord." We will all get the answer to all of these things on the judgment day. For the Christian, a better way to say it is in the words of the gospel song, "Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand." Whether we like it or not, the scripture still says, "All things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose." Now Peter said, "Who was I that I could withstand God?" Peter finally realized he could not argue with God. What God said was plain enough. If God said preach to the Gentiles, he had no choice but to do it. In Peter's defense, he said of the household of Cornelius, "It happened unto them even as on us in the beginning." It had been 8 to 10 years since the day of Pentecost, and Peter referred to the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius as the second time it took place. He was surprised to see it again. He was convinced that God wanted everybody to hear the gospel and to have access to eternal life. Actually, the Great Commission has been plain enough But even the apostles had missed what Jesus said. He said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." They thought he meant every creature that is a Jew. At last they understood. The gospel is for everybody. Many people read Acts 2:38 about repentance and baptism for the remission of sins and just can't see it. They think it says repent for the remission of sins and then be baptized because your sins have already been forgiven. If Peter meant it that way, he would have said it that way. Not only is the hand of the Lord with them in the contention with the other apostles, but also with them in the Great Commission. At last the church was ready to roll. They therefore that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that began about Stephen went everywhere preaching the word. It was not just a matter of preaching sermons in a house of worship, but speaking to others in conversation in the normal activities of the day. A survey once was made about the best way to advertise, and the conclusion was the best way to spread the news about a product is by word of mouth. They went everywhere preaching the word, word by word of mouth. He who whispers down a well about the product that he sells will never collar all the dollars as he who climbs a tree and hollers. Jesus tells us, "What ye hear in the darkness, speak ye in the light. What ye hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves. Jesus saves." So they evidently understood that the Great Commission was to preach the gospel to every creature. Some of us have the idea that Jesus wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to middle-class suburbia. It is a common experience to see a thriving congregation relocate when the wrong kind of people begin to move into the area. The hand of the Lord was with them in the contention, and the hand of the Lord was with them in the commission. And next we note that the hand of the Lord was with them in the name Christian. When they were scattered abroad, some of them went to Antioch, the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and preached to the Gentiles. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great many of them that believed turned unto the Lord. Because the hand of the Lord was with them, it says that many of them that believed turned unto the Lord. They did two things. They believed and turned. Before they turned, they were facing the devil. After they turned, they were facing the Lord. There are many now that believe in the Lord, but never turn. They were facing the devil before they believed in the Lord, and after they believed in the Lord, they were still facing the devil. The church is filled today with many believers who have never turned. Like the devil, they believe and are still facing the wrong direction. The report came to the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. His advice was good. He said, "Cleave unto the Lord." Many cleave unto the Lord for a short time and then leave the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord, but don't leave the Lord. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Then, seeing the need for more help, he went to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And the two of them worked together for a whole year. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Years ago, I received a letter from a man who told me that he lived in a community where there was no church. He said there was an abandoned church building of one denomination that was not being used, so the people of that area began to assemble there for services. He said that since they came from different religious backgrounds, they decided to call themselves a name that all could agree on. They called themselves Christians, just like they did at Antioch. He further stated that they decided to agree on a baptism they could all agree on, and that was by immersion. He said that no one objected to that way of doing it. In his letter, he said that he had been listening to me on the radio, and he said, "You seem to preach what we are already doing." He asked if I would come and hold them a revival, and I did. One woman told her husband that he ought to come and hear this guy, she said. Her husband said, "If that preacher is any good, what is he doing in a place like this?" Well, he did attend and believed on the Lord and was immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. A short time later, he was instrumental in starting a Church of Christ congregation in a city nearby. The hand of the Lord was with them, primarily because they had chosen a name they could all agree on. The name Christian, a unifying name. Some seem to think that the name Christian was given by the enemies of the Lord. For one thing, the Apostle Peter recognized it as an official name when he urged Christians not to be ashamed to suffer for that name. Followers of Christ were called many things in Scripture, more so than Christian, such as saints and disciples. But the name Christian is a name that is recognized above all others. Personally, I cannot see how that glorious name was given by the hand of the devil. Why would the devil want to give them such a flattering name that glorified Christ? The name Christian sets that person apart from the rest of society. People hold the Christian to a higher standard of conduct than anyone else. If a Christian makes a mistake, commits some kind of sin, the world is quick to sneer and retort. "And you call yourself a Christian." The world may find excuse for the conduct of other people for anything, but for the Christian, they expect us to be different. That is why Peter said, "For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time is come," he said, "for judgment to begin at the house of God." There is one thing we can say about the church at Antioch. In the matter of contention with the other apostles, in the matter of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, in the matter of wearing a name that unifies all people who love the Lord, the hand of the Lord was with them. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.